Some Bible promises were for certain people, while others apply to all believers. Keeping this straight solves many problems. Just because Joshua prayed for the sun to stand still doesn't mean we can. It just isn't true that every promise in the book is mine. But there are powerful Bible promises we can and should stake our lives on. To learn how to discern what they are, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 10 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Let's Experience the Power of Prayer and learn which promises are ours to claim.
I was thinking also this morning about the worldwide missionary impact. And Jesus said this, and this is a verse that I would use. If I were a missionary in countries of the world, particularly that were closed and where you had hard hearts, I smile because actually you don't have to be a missionary to do that. You just have to live in Chicago. You just have to have neighbors that some of us know. But think of this verse. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Oh, I love that. I could quote that verse every day. Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. When you are involved in the worldwide missionary enterprise, there's a promise that you can hang on to, and there is an application to that promise to say, I will go, because though the situation is totally hopeless, humanly speaking, I go under the authority of one who has all things under his feet. Do you see the connection between the promise and its application? So when you read the scriptures, look for that. Look for that. Now what I'd like to do in the next few moments as we think about the story that is before us, I'd like to leave with you today three lessons that we can learn about the application of God's promises. First of all, I want to remind you, number one, that the land of blessing is the land of conflict. The land of blessing is the land of conflict. I'm thinking about Joshua. Remember, the Lord says, now I want you to enter into the promised land. This is Canaan. God says, this is the place where you're going to have lots of minerals that will be available. This is the place that's going to give you some good crops. This is the place where Jesus is going to be born. That's within the land of Bethlehem. This is the place where Jesus is going to die. Calvary, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. All that is within the promised land. And God says, this is the land where my great acts are going to be performed. This is the land that is going to be visited by my blessed Son. It is the promised land. And yet you begin in chapter 1 and you go to chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Joshua and you go all the way through, and what do you have? One fight after another. One battle after another. I know that all of us want to have a Christian life without struggle. We all want to make sure that we get through life with God fighting on our behalf and we're standing by and we're just watching Him zap everybody that should be zapped within the line of fire. Finally doing what we think God should do. Bring him into judgment, O Lord. Hedge up his way with thorns. Paint him into a corner. Teach him a lesson. Oh, God sometimes does that, but seldom. God allows us to struggle and to say, this is your inheritance, but every single inch is going to be contested by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But hang in, hang in. The land of blessing is the land of conflict and warfare. Number two, we have as many promises as we need to win the battle. We have as many promises as we need to win the battle. I really do believe what was said at Founders Week by Larry Crabb, if you were listening one evening, when he said, there is really no circumstance that we will ever walk through, but through which we can walk successfully, I'm paraphrasing, at least spiritually on that level, because God has promised to be with us. He will not leave us and He will not forsake us. God will be there. We can't promise a bed of roses. We can't promise health and wealth and all the other things, but we can promise God. Some time ago, a woman wrote a letter to me in which she said, all of my faith in God has been totally shattered. And what shattered her faith was a picture of some children in an orphanage in an Eastern European country. They were dirty. They were unfed. They were, many of them, according to the picture, seemed to be almost, what shall we say, having all kinds of disabilities because they were not cared for. And the woman took a look at that picture and said, if God does not help those poor little children, what right do I have to think that He's going to help me? And her faith was shattered. It was an incredible letter. So what do we say in those circumstances? Does God walk with us or not? Well, I forget exactly all the things that I wrote to her, but probably I referred to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul says, look, he says, we do not lose hope in this life. Because he says, for one thing, though the outer man is perishing, and it will all perish someday, the inner man is being renewed day by day. In fact, he says, the afflictions that we have are light momentary afflictions that are working within us an eternal weight of glory. What is Paul saying is, even though God may not deliver us from those kinds of situations in this world, even though we cannot claim, yes, God, you owe me this or you owe me that, we do have the promise that He never leaves us or forsakes us, and He has an entire eternity to help us to understand and to make up for the trials that we're going through here. So we just keep walking along, believing that we have as many promises as we need to face life as representatives of Jesus Christ, to face life successfully. Joshua had his promise, and we have ours, finally. And it's already been implied that the promises always have a struggle. We have a struggle when we want to apply them, don't we? You know, in the rest of this chapter, which we do not have time to read, Joshua takes the five kings, they're put into a cave, eventually they're brought out and they're killed. And we look at this and we say, Joshua, you meanie, why are you doing it this way? Of course, God had said that these people, their iniquity was already full, it was time to give the land to the Israelites and so forth. But when Joshua did this, he received a lot of help from his men. It's interesting that the Lord comes and fights for us, but that doesn't mean we simply sit back and say, well, now, God, you're going to do it all. We have our part in obedience, as I frequently said from this pulpit. We do what is possible, and then God comes along and does the impossible, and God comes and walks with us and takes up our cause. But applying the promises is not automatic. It's a struggle. One day the disciples came to Jesus because they were trying to cast out a demon and the demon wouldn't leave. Now it's interesting, this is Luke chapter 9, and it says in chapter 9 verse 1, the Lord says, I give you authority over all demons. And then you read a few verses down and you read a story over a demon that would not budge when the disciples wanted to cast out the demon. So they of course are wondering, you know, here you have the promise over here and there's no reality over here. Authority over all demons, chapter 9, verse 1, about verse 27 and following, no authority at all. The demons do not do anything when you try to cast them out. You remember what Jesus said. He said, first of all, how long shall I put up with you and be with you? Bring him to me. And that's where Jesus Christ used those words, talking about their lack of faith. He says, for one thing, you lacked faith. For another, he said, there are some that do not come out except by prayer and fasting. Well, Lord, I have a promise over here. Why do I have to fast? All that I have to do is to just apply the promise. God says, no, there are some that do not come out unless there's prayer and fasting. The promises are not applied automatically. See, that's why we have prayer meetings. That's why we encourage you to come Wednesday evening and gather with the people of God to pray together and to worship together. And that's why we have an elders' prayer meeting. That's why we have prayer meetings in homes. It's because we know that it is when we are yielded before God and when we deal with sin and when we struggle in the presence of God and when we hang on to promises that don't seem to be fulfilled, but we still hang on anyway because they're ours. It is during that period of time that we are refined and purified and humbled and brought low. And it is then that God begins to take up His cause and fight for our cause. And so the Lord said to the disciples, first of all, it's lack of faith, lack of discipline. He said, we have to fast sometimes. Now, you know, we've had this, I've been around long enough to know that when you call a fast, there aren't nearly as many people who show up as when you call a feast. It's very interesting, very interesting. I haven't done a statistical analysis, but I'm pretty sure that that could be proven. And then the Lord says, what about humility? They were arguing as to which was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What the Lord is saying in the strongest possible terms is this. You can take all the promises in the world, but if you do not have the ability to apply them through faith, discipline, and humility and brokenness, they don't happen automatically. Because there are conditions. Now, mind you, there are some promises that have only one condition, and that is that you come to the Lord. Some of you who are here today have never received Christ as your Savior. Here's a promise for you, and I want you to know how it applies to you. As many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to become the children of God, even to those who believed on His name. Now, there's a universal promise with a universal invitation. As many as received Christ, He gave the authority to become the children of God. Now there's a promise for you to hang on to, my friend. And I want you to hang on to it and to say, that is for me. And today I receive Christ as Savior. And then you begin to enter into all the other promises of the New Testament that are given to those who love God that must be applied, sometimes with a hassle. But in the end, they become ours. And God says, I will fight on your behalf. Surely there has never been a day like it before or since. A day when the Lord listened to a man because the Lord fought for Israel. Oh, that God would fight for you, for me, for our church, for His cause. But let's be the people we should be so that He can do that. Yes, my friend, let's be the people that we should be for His glory so that He can fight for us. Well, of course, this message is the story of one of the most remarkable miracles in all of the Bible, the standing still of the sun. You may need a special miracle today. I can't guarantee you that God is going to give it to you the way you're praying for it. What I can guarantee is that if you call out to the Lord, He will meet you. He's there to help you. And remember, it is faith that is the bridge between the promises of God and our actual experience. Because without faith, it is not possible to please God. So let's be encouraged and let us remember that God is willing to help us if we come to Him, believing Him all the way.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up, let's experience the power of prayer. The last message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Getting Started Right can be yours as a 6-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. On Monday, join us for a series on rumors about Jesus. Don't miss our next Running to Win.